This week's episode has been brought to you by the paid subscribership of Live More Virtual Assistants, Chaka and Andrew, and the generous donation of Michael. Thanks and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 98. We are here with Paco Lancini.
So excited.
I feel like I am very, very quiet. I'm going to turn me up. There we go. Oh, that's so much better. So much production now involved in the show. We could be DJ. Give us a call, 877-222-8323. That 323 spells dad. That is the only numbers I could get to spell out. So I need you to memorize four numbers and three letters and a word. Four numbers and a word. 222-8 dad. So if your address is 2228, you're in luck, my friend. If you're caller
there.
Number 20, we're coming to your house. That's right. This Super Bowl. The Paco and Worsham are coming to you.
That would be fun.
Oh, my goodness. How are you, Mr. Dooley?
I am doing very well. I just had my, for lack of a better word, call a workout.
Oh.
I was just walking around.
You do? Well, yeah, you do.
Gotta do something.
Why not? I have not. Here's the thing. It's funny that you bring this up because I need to lose weight, clearly, okay. Right?
Well.
I mean, obviously I'm very attractive.
Absolutely.
I think that's a given.
Yeah.
You can't be in show business with the level of success that daddy has attained.
Right.
Unless you are a big bucket of handsome. But I'm more, my doctor has issues with it.
I understand.
Listen, if I slim down, you know what I mean? Here's what I do. I carry this extra literally as a burden upon my shoulders
right. To
keep my marriage safe. If I was 40 pounds lighter, oh, the road tail would just be flung at me.
Luna would be scrambling across the street.
Oh, right? That would ruin our relationship. Absolutely. Right out of the box.
Possibly improve it. That would okay.
Perfect. Well, that would be perfect. Two shows in and our co-host is already gone again. Never again will I be scorned by the lover of the co-host. So many people, BT dubs, that's my new phrase, that I took from the children. So many people excited to have Paco. I got tweets.
Oh,
I got messages.
Awesome. Oh, that's very exciting.
I have decided to not take it as a coincidence of Father's Day. Also, three additional paid subscribers signed up once they heard Paco Lancini was involved.
Holy smokes. Now we're getting somewhere.
That's what I'm saying, right?
I do have to say this is my last podcast.
Awkward.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to stop doing it.
Well, guys, I'll refund your $75 coming back your way. $72
yeah.
Because it's only 24. That's what you could save.
Well, I'm glad to hear, for whatever reason, that the show is growing incrementally.
I'm excited. I love it. It's already easier and awesome and fun. And anyway, what I was saying is that I've decided I do the app. You ever try that Lose It app? Counting calories.
Well, I haven't, but I understand the idea.
And here's what I find.
Yes.
I find that what ends up happening is that for whatever reason, my life seems very boring until I decide to lose weight, you see. When I decide to track what I'm actually eating, yes. There's special occasions aplenty.
Right.
There's a horn aplenty of, oh, well, it's my son's birthday. I'm going to be making cupcakes and providing cheese pizza to preschoolers.
Right.
And then, well, now there's a party with the friends and family that will be this weekend. I can't count calories. No. There's going to be barbecue tri-tip, right. You know. Oh, wife's got a new job. All right, let's do it again.
Absolutely.
New co-host. Yes, let's... We can take phone calls. That's right. Cheesecakes for everyone.
Chili dogs.
And then I was like, oh, what if I go out on a bike ride? Because I love to ride my bike.
Oh, I saw you on a bike.
Yeah, I like to go out and ride my bike. It harkens back to my days as a paper boy, a young man in Modesto, California, flinging the news, spreading information.
Absolutely.
Before the internet killed it. And
now you have to throw laptops.
Very expensive to be a paperboy nowadays.
Idea. I have to pat myself on the back.
That's a good one. And so, So then I'm like, I was like, oh, I'll do that. And I go, what if I go on a bike ride to burn 1,000 calories?
Oh, Lord.
You know what I mean? And I looked and it only takes about an hour and a half of bike riding if you can maintain around a 15 mile per hour rate.
Right.
Nobody wants to hear about this. I've just now realized.
No, it's okay. Listen, I would talk about weight loss for hours. I'm consumed with it.
Well, it has to be something that's going on. I mean, we're supposed to be so obese. I just keep hearing about it. Like,
No, we're not supposed to be so obese.
What's up?
We're supposed to not be so obese.
Oh, this isn't part of the plan?
No.
Oh, I was not aware. Nobody told me.
No, one of the best things that happened for my well-being lately, my health, was when your doctor said you were obese, and Luna heard that.
That's right.
Because that we snapped right into action then.
Here's the thing. I think if you have a BMI, I think she said of 30 or above. So I am 5'11", mm-hmm. and I weigh about I hover now between 210 and 215.
Oh, my God, I'd kill you.
So
I'd love to weigh 210.
Right?
Right.
And so, well, now that's a whole other story. But anyway, so that makes me, I think if you have a BMI of 29 or under, you are just overweight. But mm-hmm. if you break into 30, you are technically obese. And so that is why, and it's just so funny. Like, I see pictures
and
now.
When you're in triple digits,
uh-huh.
then it's a whole other
thing. No way. That's impossible. Physically impossible for you to be in triple digits BMI. Let's talk about something else. This is boring. I'm bored with it already. I know you said you had something you wanted to talk to me about. We're very official now.
Yes.
We did a little bit of a sifta. You were like, I wanted to talk to you about something. I don't know if I want to talk to you beforehand.
Right.
We did very radio thing. We said, mm-hmm. let's sifta. And he said, well, I don't want you to feel like you're being ambushed. And I'm like, ambush away.
Yes.
He's like, well, it's not a bad thing. So right. now that we've hyped it up beyond anything
yes,
that could
exactly.
follow it.
Now that you will all be let down thoroughly.
Pounce on me. Destroy my inner being right here, right now.
There were
make me weep.
Now I wonder if I can even remember all of it. But certainly part of it was that that I've had the first blowback from Luna.
Oh, from the show.
Yeah. So.
Oh, boy. Look at you, Howard Stern.
Yeah, exactly.
She can't silence your voice.
Well, here's the thing. He's got money to stuff into his
It's coming. We've got three new subscribers, buddy.
That's true.
At least $3 of that is yours.
Well,
at least.
You.
I'm a very generous man.
Right. I'll get her half a burrito.
She is
so welcome. So I'm gonna try not to let it affect my performance as it were, but in any case, so there's a little delicate diplomacy that's going to be required.
Oh, okay.
But
of me?
No.
Oh, okay,
no.
Good. Well, that's what I remember. Everything for some reason when I do the show with you is all about me.
During the show, no, everything in your life is all about you.
How dare you? How dare you? I hung blinds at your house. That was
true.
Not
Thank
about
you.
Me.
And I've knocked off.
I fixed a sprinkler at your house. That was not about me. I mean, now I'm making it about me.
I understand. But I was videotaping you while you were doing it, and me and my children were standing around you
yes.
while you were doing it. So
it's awesome.
It still was somehow about you.
I hope everyone listening to the show has some kind of dually equivalent to hang out with, because it's good times all around.
Listen,
man.
I'm available, as is a parent.
It's funny that my wife, she has her new boss. She was talking about the house. She goes, oh, we bought a house in Burbank, blah, blah, blah. And when she was talking about the neighborhood and how great it is and how we're friends with everybody and it's good times. And he's like, nobody in my neighborhood is like, yeah, listen, this neighborhood makes everybody that I ever talk to hate their neighborhood, which makes me very happy.
That's awesome.
We have our own like gated community. I love it.
Now, you have been extraordinarily generous with your time, and I actually managed to do two of the blinds on my own.
Nice.
I've got two more to do today. They don't work, but
they're up.
But they're up.
They're up.
So that's very exciting, and I did order some online. This is talk about boring. We've gone from weight loss to blinds.
Yeah, we're going to need to switch up this co-host situation. This was a bad call. I apologize, guys.
No, that's all right.
Hey, listen, we are we like each other a lot,
yes.
and now you're the victim
well,
of our friendliness.
Here's what I was going to ambush you with: the fact that it's not blinds.com that rules the world. It's Select Blinds. It's much
better
than blinds.com.
Now, well, there goes the sponsor.
Right.
We just lost the sponsor, guys.
No, we've got two of them now.
Oh, we have Select Blinds and the other one that's coming.
And
yeah,
the other one. No, I can't recommend Select Blinds at this point. They haven't arrived yet.
Oh, okay.
Despite their promise.
But you're on the fence.
Would. Yes.
You're on the clock, Select
we'll
Blinds.
We'll see. I had
You
to
chose
register.
Them because of their pricing?
Pricing and their turnaround time.
Oh.
And then after all of the, you know, confirmations about when they would arrive, I got an email that said, oh, yeah, by the way, it's going to be an extra week or 10 days or whatever it is. And I thought, that's not cool. I was just talking to somebody less than 24 hours ago who promised that it was they were practically packing them up during the conversation, and now they're not going to be here. So I wrote a strongly worded letter that I'm sure won't do anything. It only served to slow it down.
You're going
to
get spit in your blind car. Somebody's going to put spit in your blinds.
Almost certainly. At best, it'll be spit in my blinds. In any case, so that's going well, and I start to feel a little bit more like a man. But don't forget, or don't doubt, I will call you at a moment's notice to come over.
I look forward to it.
And save me. And the tricky thing was in the bedroom where the ladder from the bunk bed is actually blocking the window. So that would have been hilarious to watch because it was me and several other people trying to get that taken care of. But
okay, what are the conditions? What are Luna's conditions? Did we get those? Can we talk about them without breaking them?
Well,
is it like Fight Club? I have so many questions.
It's not a little bit like Fight Club, or it's not in any case. No, and this is now I'm cautious because this is the part.
Please don't be.
No, not because of you.
Oh.
Now I'm afraid of her. Well, I was always afraid of her, but let me say this, and there's no gun to my head in saying this, all right? I just want to be clear, and you can jump in on this if you want to. I'm going to stop laughing.
Adam, give me the shovel that you're using to dig this unattainable hole. Adam, you're so close, you're not going to be able to get out, buddy. I'm your friend. Just give me the shovel and stop digging.
I love my wife.
Good one, buddy. Good one. That's what you can expect from Paco is these kind of zingers right here, my man. He loves his wife. All right, now go back to talking shit about her. Seriously.
No, I absolutely want to say this because it may be unclear to some people that I have a very high respect for her and that everything that I say here is said with love.
Of course.
And so apparently there's a voice I use to emulate her.
Which, I don't know what you're talking about, Adam.
Hang on, which apparently was just sort of a around the house type option.
Oh, I see. All right.
And not a broadcast.
That was not safe for work, as they say.
That was not safe for work. So I want to see if I can plea bargain this down a little bit because, again, of the many men that I've heard imitate what their wives might sound like.
Yours is the nicest.
It's a very loving tribute.
Yes, yes.
So in any case, that,
cause here's the thing, I would venture a guess that somebody who over dissected it would think that the problem is that it sounds very masculine, right? And your wife is not a masculine lady.
No, it sounds nothing like her. Let me be clear.
Right. That's also true. Well, here's the thing, the accent, she has a little, like it's
the New
like
York,
all the pressure.
The New York
she's got a little bit of the New York accent, which I love. Like, it's my favorite thing to hear tell the dogs to shut up and call them. Like, it's awesome. It's my kids are big fans. Like, you don't know this because they can never – they see her sometimes. If Natalie's open the window and she goes out to work,
right,
they see her and I hear, "Hi, Doreen!" Like, they just yell it, but it's from plexiglass.
Right.
Like, so it's just silence from across
from
the street.
From our side, it's nothing, actually. That's awesome.
But it's – I don't know what I was going to say, but my point is – very funny, but please stick to talking shit about
me. I'm not going to stop. I'm
for
not
the
gonna
sake
stop,
of the show. Just,
in that one particular area, I'm gonna lay off that a little bit for now.
I'm going to throw something out there that I learned, actually, from emails that I've gotten when you and I talked about the racist toddlers, as I titled it.
Yes, I loved that, by the way.
We have 3 black listeners, so...
Okay.
The street cred on the show just skyrocketed.
Oh, wow.
By the way.
That's,
man,
that's great.
Our credit has gotten worse. one of the things that I thought was interesting was that everybody was kind of echoing the same sentiment, is that they're like, we shouldn't be this PC and everything. And then it kind of made me realize is that I always worry about offending people on the show because they don't really know me. But what I've forgotten is I have friends like Joseph Bears. Joseph Bears is a friend of mine that listens to the show.
Right.
And whenever I see him, he never feels like we see each other maybe twice a year. He never feels like he has to catch up because he listens to the show and he knows what's going on. So I feel like I think it comes through whether you and I are aware of it or not.
Right.
Like, I think Because here's the thing, and I think Carolla kind of talks about this too when he gets called a racist. He goes, if I really was a racist, I would not say racist things. Right. I would keep that on the down low as much as possible because I'd be afraid of being found out. Like, it, the reason that I am so open talking shit about my wife is because I am head over heels in love with her just as much as you are yours.
And as you've said, she doesn't listen.
That's also true. That's a, she used to, though. She used to. She this poor lady, like, here's a kind of a similar thing.
Right.
To maybe make Luna feel at ease.
Okay.
This woman heard me talk about the state of her breastises in front of a room full of 200 plus people.
Right.
20 of them being executives at her bank. One of them being the CEO, another maybe 10 to 15 being everybody from our preschool, like teachers, other parents, things like that. Wow. And then also the dentist's office. There were some people there representing from the dentist's office. And she was like, ah, it's fine. You know, it's like big deal. And not that obviously that should be, but I think the reason why my wife could say no big deal is because
she has gorgeous breasts.
Oh my God, dude, trust me. I'm gonna show you a picture.
So
after
I
the show.
Hear.
Let's not let Luna hear this part of me showing you my wife's boobs.
All right,
hey, Luna. There, I'll just do that. Right, she tuned out. Anyway, I think it's that she knows how I feel and how much I care. Like, no matter what I say, making fun of her, like the real intent. Like, honestly, what stays in those closed doors is what earns you those credits, if you would, I
right,
guess.
Right. Well, I was suggesting that she
stop listening.
That was going to be my plan B. No, plan A was come on.
Oh.
Get in here and mix it up. I said it'll be fun. And
I like it already.
And it just occurs to me now, and I know we talked about this before, get both of them in here.
Right?
Let them talk some shit about us. It'll be fun.
My wife is horrible about talking shit about me.
Oh, really?
Oh my gosh, yeah. The poor thing. She's taking a knife to a gunfight. It's funny because I realized this recently. Like, she gets upset at things. Like, I don't know if other guys go through this. It's an interesting time to be a father. Like, you and I kind of play video games. I think I play them even more than you. Fair to say?
I think you do, yeah.
And so I will. That's my wind down time. So when she's in the middle of reading the kids, I'll pop on the PS4 and I'll play it for 10, 15 minutes until she's done. Sometimes I'll get invested, like in a mission or something like that, that might take more time. And so she'll be kind of running around. And what's great about her is that she won't just, like, you know, like flip out. See, that's my impression of my part. She sounds like a feral Wolverine as opposed to a domesticated one.
Right.
And so I checked in recently. I'm like, are you okay? Like, you seem, and she was kind of tired and everything like that. And I wonder if she's wired to not say things. You know what I mean? Like, maybe she's afraid of saying, like, hey, put down the fucking controller and put your kids to sleep because I'm tired, because she also realizes how much I do. You know what I mean? That's also a big part of our relationship. Like, look at everything I do for you. Look at how lucky you are.
Right, right.
I wish, that's my favorite thing I say. I wish I had somebody managing my life for me the way I do yours. And,
right. She also might be nervous to speak up.
Because I hit her. Is that what you're going to say? I didn't know you guys could see that through the picture window.
Right. because, yeah, they're not calling, hello, Doreen. They're calling for help. The children at the window.
Help, Doreen. It's good that they sound the same
is
through lip-read lips.
Because you have this outlet.
Yes.
So anything she says, in theory, becomes fair game for.
Oh, no. That's not her. That's not my wife.
Okay. All right.
No, trust me. Well, here's the thing. In order for you to put all this, I would have to have her sit down here and you could say, because.
Which you've thoroughly avoided since it first came up 3 or 4 months ago.
I have not thoroughly avoided.
We should all be here and do this.
I don't think you understand the difference in our lifestyle. Maybe I should break it down again. The glistening, saddened eyes with not a full tear, but like a quarter of a tear just resting on the bottom eyelid, to which we watch you and your wife get into your Toyota Prius and just leave for whatever new release you've decided to fill this time of your life with. It's not even a movie you're dying to see. It's just like, we're just killing time, because what else are we going to do? Because our children no longer need us.
Right.
All they need us to do is make the mortgage payment and make sandwiches and remind them 3 times in a 20-minute period that there's a sandwich for them.
Not only don't they need us, they don't want us.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, our children have already asked for 40 things just in the 30 seconds we watched you walk into your car.
Right, right.
That's the difference in our lifestyle. My wife, trust me, I would love for her to be involved in everything. She would have been here instead of you.
Oh, man. Oh, man. weird bastard.
No, but honestly, I kicked around the idea of her doing like her and I doing a monthly type episode.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
by the time she works all day, then comes home and puts the kids to sleep, she's zonked.
Right.
And it's because she's not a man like me. She can't. She doesn't have a second.
And letters.
Right.
Too.
I look forward to your emails, ladies. No, but and I'm kidding when I say that, but it's really what it is she is a different person. She is a person who she works very hard and is always on the go. And when she is not at work, she is invested in the family and the kids. And I wish I could help her to create a little bit of a balance to say, listen, I know that it's hard, but take a gear back. And like I had to tell her, she took a week off vacation. She wanted to renovate the whole fucking house. She wanted to clear out the garage. She wanted to do all this shit. And I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do it for 3 days, but 2 days you belong to me and 2 days you belong to the other two guys in this house. You know what I mean? That's good. We're going to do something as a family for four of us. She's like, well, there's shit I want to get done. I said, I understand you want to get stuff done, but the purpose of a vacation, you see, is for you to recharge. It's to chill out and relax. And that's what we're going to do. So you and I are going to go see a movie and we're going to go to lunch. And that's what recharges our batteries. We took the kids to the beach one day and had fun.
Where?
We went to Santa Monica. That's where we decided to go. She looked up on Yelp, like, what are beaches in L.A. to take kids to or whatever. And we just said, that one's shortest. We're going to get there
sooner. Right, that is.
But yeah, so my wife, that's why I can't do any of that stuff. It's not because I wouldn't want her to come in here. Trust me, I welcome the idea of somebody because I think it's funny. That's what I like about you is that, and I think the listeners really love it, is that you kind of hold up a mirror to my bullshit whenever I get a little uppity or whatever. And what's funny is that it creates, to me, a nice dynamic here in that it doesn't necessarily change my mind.
I was still cursing. I
will still curse and yell at my kids and say, I call bullshit on that stuff.
On the third or fourth episode that I did with you, I thought, wow, this is really interesting. We're getting into new territory. This could really make it an important change. And then I quickly realized we're not going to be any important changes coming
along. If I change, then everything falls apart. There's no more dynamic. And here's the thing, that I have doubts in my head about my parenting, but at the same time, I have this feeling in the pit of my gut that goes, this is the way to do it. Because my dad was a dick, and I loved him for it now. Right. I mean, I had this conversation with him recently, and I mean, maybe this is a better conversation to get into with, but that I had a conversation with him where I said, I go, I really don't think I need my kid to like me now. Like what I really am doing, because, I haven't said it on the show. I think I might have said it to you, but we had friends visiting this last weekend. They came down to see my show and we went to go get lunch and we're driving back. And somehow it organically came up that Jacob was misunderstood and my friend was asking him what kind of things I say to him. And so he was like, oh, this is interesting. He goes, what kind of things does dad say to you when he talks to you? Like, what are the top five? If you're Casey Kasem, too soon, and you want to count down top five things. And so he goes, what kind of things does dad say to you? And Jacob goes, no. And then I started laughing. I go, okay, what else? Oh, no, you broke it. What was the other one? He goes, okay, what else? He goes, sit on your butt. Because I've always, every time they sit down and have a meal, I go, sit on your butt. And I lose my mind about it because I have to say it so many times. And then the other one was, I go, what else? He goes, my mom's name. And which I think he means, like, at first I thought he meant because I'm always talking to their mother. But whenever I talk to Natalie, I say dear. But what I do is that when she does something or screws something up around the house and she's not here, I say her name to the heavens. Like I go, Natalie. I think that's what he's talking.
This is quite a legacy. You're set up here.
He's got five. And then here's what it is. I set him up so perfectly. And this is kind of a moment of the week too. So I'm blowing it a little early, but it's worth it. Is that I said, son, what about the nice things? Let's try to focus on the nice things. Does dad say things that are nice to you? And here's
leading
the thing.
The witness.
The comedian in me knows that I know that this is a good path to walk down. The father in me is kind of scared that maybe there isn't anything that.
Right.
Because I know, here's what I know. I know as an adult that I hug and I kiss that kid all the time. I tell him how great he is. I'm constant. Like, we cuddle and play video games and watch movies. I take him to R-rated movies because I'm like, this is cool. You know, like. And I tell him that, too. Like, he says, oh, you know, let's have a Watch Dogs birthday party, he said.
Oh, my God.
And I said, son, that's Well, here's the thing. You have a dad that lets you see things that most kids don't.
Like, right. So, well, you're well on the path to ruining your children the way I ruined mine.
That's perfect. So see, you have great kids.
Right. Well, we'll see.
So here's the thing he said. He said, I go, what does dad say nice to you? And this is by far the best. He said, then he goes, oh, I love you too. Now, here's the thing. I want everybody listening to thoroughly get a laugh out of that. I want you to wipe a tear from your eye, but I want to make it clear, and there is definitely no gun being held in my head, this kid is full of shit, okay? I would say that to his face. The funniness of it is that obviously I only tell him I love him when he says it first.
Right, no, that's brilliant.
But here's the thing. I know that at least bare minimum, you understand, bare minimum, once every, I'm going to say 5 days, I will look at that kid because he does something that is cool or great, and I kind of have a moment of like, wow. Because whenever I have that moment, it hits me in my head. I'm like, that's a good kid. I say, you know I love you, right? And he goes, yes. And I said, like a lot, right? He goes, yes. And then I go, I said, no, it's like, it's insane. You are an amazing kid. Like, I'm very lucky as a father to have you to be my son, mm-hmm. let alone my first son. Like, You're incredible. Right, and he's right. Like, oh, yes. Like, he does that kind of thing. And then I give him a hug and I kiss him on the head and the cheek a bunch of times.
Right.
And so, but here's what, that's what I think is funny is that from, and I say this because I hope that there are other parents that maybe having like the doubts that I have in my brain, get rid of them. These fucking kids are full of shit, man. No matter how
get rid of the doubts or the kids.
I go both, right. Depending on how bad it is.
Right.
But get rid of the doubts for sure. Like, start with the doubts, and if it still doesn't help, then get rid of the fucking kids. But then, because I do. I sit there, and I love those kids, and I tell them all the time. And yes, am I hard on them? Yeah, I'm sure that hard on them to an extent in that I do not relent. I do not give up. There is never a moment. Like, I set a bar. I go, this is where we're aiming for.
Right.
When you hit it, I will stop screaming. Like, that's how we do it. And I talk
sit on your butt.
Yeah, exactly. And, and here's the thing, like he said that one time where he kind of peed himself because he was afraid I was going to yell at
him.
Then why do I have to say sit on your butt so many times? That's what I say. I call bullshit on that. I call bullshit because I think it's more about how he wanted to play and waited too long to go pee. And then I'll stop talking. I know I've been sitting here going crazy. But
I was actually thinking that when you said that he went, you know, it was your fault for setting him up by saying, you know, what are some of the nice things and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I thought his thing was going to be, those were the good things. Right now.
Yeah, just, I got nothing. Right. I thought I was complimenting him. And so to bring it all around,
worse from there.
The reason I think I am the way I am is because my father was this way.
Sure.
And my father and I are very close to this day. And I realize it now that I am thankful for everything that I hated about my dad when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I am now thankful for. And not that I'm better than anybody, but I think it's really hard as a parent. And maybe I'm just talking about me, but I really don't believe I am that. It's hard as a parent to kind of have that perspective when you're in the middle of it. It's like that joke I talk about in my act where I do think it's like playing craps. You never know in the middle. Like, what baffles me is that you, unless you just do it for the sake of the show, what baffles me is that you are looking at your children and thinking that you are doing something in any way wrong to those children.
Oh, no, I don't do that for the sake of the show. I have just as many doubts about my abilities as a parent as I have about your abilities as a parent. Couldn't even get through it.
That was great. That was awesome. Well played, Mr. Dooley. Well played indeed. Because here's the thing. We should be complimenting Luna for all the crap she's caught on the show instead of just sucking each other off orally like this whole time. But I look at your kids and your family and I go, I really truly hope that I can have this level of a relationship with my kids when they are of this age. Like, I know, I get, and I'm very thankful that you guys are across the street and that I came across you guys when I did in my life, because to me, it's like this great thing to go, okay, I see this happening, which can kind of help me to enjoy the time now that everybody fucking tells you to do.
Yes.
and that, you know, when they want to be around, and I'm preparing myself for that time and kind of thinking, because it's weird. If you look at the way I treat my children now and the way they perceive me, it's like I would be so happy when they become teenagers and never talk to me. But my dad told me, he goes, that's just the time of their life right now. He goes, you're going to always tell them no, because this is, that's where they are developmentally. You know, that's, you're constantly establishing boundaries and going, nope, nope, right. this way, nope, 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 this way. And then there will come a time where he goes, probably about the time they hit 8 or 10. I don't know if this was your experience. He goes, that just kind of dissipates, like, or maybe comes down a little. I don't know. Your face tells me otherwise.
I'm trying to remember that far back. Yeah, I think it did a little bit, but the thing is that our and they had such different dispositions, the two of them, mm-hmm. that Diego was always a sort of very graceful soul. So there wasn't a lot of requirement for setting boundaries with him. He sort of got it and went, okay, I'm going to go essentially go straight from here.
Yeah.
The other one is a little bit more of a pachinko ball in terms of bouncing off of stuff on his way down. So, and then certainly by now, and this is the thing you need to be on the lookout for, it should be just on your radar, is that they literally wanted nothing to do with us. I mean, Griffin at about 11 and a half, heading into 12, just shut the door.
He's like, I'm out.
And didn't want any. So all of that that you're used to of setting those boundaries,
Is it like a light switch, though? Like, does it just go poof and it's gone and you're like, wait, what just happened? Does it happen slow and you don't notice it until it's done?
Well, what I'm trying to get at is, to from your side of it, you're going to be very used to doing that.
Oh.
And you are not going to really be allowed to, or that you're doing, the way in which you're used to doing it.
Oh, yeah, that's really
going to
fuck with my world.
It is.
Especially, like, because here's the difference.
Because they're
going
to push back every time you do that. Now they're testing, yeah. But they really want to prove that every teenager thinks they're going to live forever. Every teenager thinks they know everything. That's what it is.
It's some bullshit, man.
Yeah, no, and you can fight against that all you want, but you're going to turn into me. No, you need to, just for your own sake, you're going to have to find
another
way.
But here's the thing. I know you joke, but I think you really do. Like, here's one of the things that I thought was really cool, and I know this is going to sound super crazy and stupid, I'm sure, but I really got a big kick out of it. I hung the blinds, and you called your son in to say, hey, what do you think of this? And he walked in the room, and he goes, oh, shit. Like, he looked at the room and everything. And for a minute, I was like, oh, no. Like, here's what my brain did. My brain did was like, either A, this is going to get weird, or B, this is my fault, because I've been cursing up a storm since I walked in the door, and I forget. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And so, but then nobody reacted, and I was like, this is my childhood. That's exactly what my childhood was like, was that we're – like, there's an understanding. Here's the difference, though. The difference is that, like, my dad treated me like I was his age, but made sure that I was not as good as him. You know what I mean? Like, you understand?
Yes.
So I was a loser equivalent of him, you see? And so you have, I feel like everybody kind of has an equal playing field of respect. But in your house, there's also there's an added dynamic where your kids get to weigh in on window treatments and things like that. And there's checking in. It's like, ooh, he is displeased with the ceiling fan. We have to remedy this situation, wow. You know, kind of thing. Here's the thing. I'm probably over-exaggerating to the extent of your kindness, but that it's only from the perspective of that there was no consideration. I remember asking my dad if I could put posters up on my walls, and he goes, your walls? Like,
well, that's the same. That's the same reaction as whose car door is it?
It's, yeah,
the same,
exactly. Reaction. Yeah, that's, yeah, what with, yeah, my kids. I was like, I Jack did it again this morning. He goes, is Jacob going to get it on my side? I said, but Zach's so little, he doesn't understand. I go, wait a minute, whose side is this? He goes, mine. I go, who do you pay for the car? He goes, yep. And I go,
right.
No, you do not. Right. that is a negative on that one, Ghost Rider. No. Daddy pays for the car, therefore all sides are his. And that,
right.
I love saying that message of, like, when you pay for it, then you can make the call the shots.
But he's not, he doesn't quite get that.
No, but he will. Like, right. This is another thing I think I've picked up from my father, be it less or good or bad, I don't know. But I have literally treated my children like they are 30 from the time they were born when I talk to them.
We've done that largely, too. There was not a lot of, oh, how are you doing?
Yes, exactly.
My wife will talk to the dog that way. Do I need to come up with different names for the dogs?
Yes,
I might need to do
to
that.
Save them.
Okay, I may
they're
have
very
to do
sensitive.
That.
They're very.
Right. I'm gonna do that.
You don't want to end up with a doghouse with the dogs.
That's, no.
Then you got no recourse. You're gonna again end up sleeping out here next to the studio.
Believe me, looking more attractive all the time. So I. I'm going to just grind everything to a halt for 1 second and switch gears a little bit.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about what you wanted to switch gears. Is that cool?
Sure.
Tell me no. Listen, well, you're co-host.
Here's
an equal playing field.
Here's what I say. Do this and then take the break, and we'll
get
onto something else.
Yeah.
I never double back to you after seeing your show.
Oh.
And I was just thoroughly impressed, quite aside from being entertained. It was just very effective on many levels. First of all, to see these other comics come up, and that was a really well-organized order.
Yeah.
In terms of getting
like
performers getting
up.
Ramping up to you more and more.
Natalie Compton said that when she first saw me headline, she goes, "What was interesting is watching you come up." She said there was the headliner would always come up, and they would always be a little bit. It would be a little bit bigger deal, kind of a thing. And
right.
So the first time she goes, it was nice to see you kind of be that person,
yeah.
or whatever, which was very flattering. But.
And. Absolutely. And
I will tell you, I am not good at taking compliments before you start.
No, I understand. This is why I wasn't sure if I was going to do this on the air, but I will. And you can take it any way you need to. But just it was just really fascinating to me because I've known you for many months now and socialized with you and performed with you to whatever extent this isn't a performance.
It's a performance.
I mean, it's a conversation.
It's a performance. None of this is real.
But to see you do... like your thing, I know this is also your thing, but to see you in this other setting was just fascinating. You know, the material you have sort of referenced as you do on this show from time to time, but to actually see it in its setting, in its entirety, was just fascinating. You owned the stage.
Oh, thanks.
You really just took over. You used levels. You were clearly somebody who understood the value of the space instead of just sort of standing there either by the mic stand or at arm's length from the mic stand, you prowled back and forth, and you're
like
up
a lion
and,
in like, a cage.
Yeah, you're up and you're down, and you just took control of that room, and it was really interesting to see you do that. And the part that made me comfortable was I still wasn't able to interrupt. So that
it's the same thing,
right? No. But it was. I thought it was fantastic, and I can see the work you put into it, and it has paid off. And in some ways, makes me sad to think that you're. Looking to move away from that, although I understand why.
Yeah.
I'll still
do it here. I think this is where I'm really bad at taking compliments is that I'm not good at feeling good about anything I do, if that makes sense. Like, I can have a moment. I have little fleeting moments where it's like, I can have a conversation with Natalie where I can say, I'm like, I'm really proud of that. But then it has to go away because my biggest fear is becoming arrogant. And I don't know why. I don't know what it is, but it's a petrifying thing for me. And so it's stupid, but my mind is literally wired. When somebody tells me something nice, it goes in, I hit it, I go, oh, thank you. And then it goes away. Like if I hang on to it too long, then I get too comfortable. I don't know. I'm not a psychologist, but
I'm saying that it's working. And I want to say to the listeners that, you know, if they're listening to this show and they enjoy the show, hands down, they need to find a way to see you.
Oh, thanks, man.
Because it's just another level. It's everything they love, but better.
Oh, thanks.
It's everything they love without me.
That's not true. What if we both did stand up at the same time?
Stop.
Oh, my gosh. Live shows. I do think that the only thing that is different there is that, A, this is extemporaneous constantly.
Right.
That is something that I have refined over a year and a half to some. And then there's moments that like 5 minutes of it is stuff that I've refined recently and added to the stuff that I've done before. And so it's become a nice little package and I like it.
But it doesn't even feel that way necessarily. It doesn't feel practiced.
No.
It feels loose.
Good.
In a completely opposite way than several of the people who preceded you. Whose names shall be omitted, or if I can even remember them.
Well, that's very kind, and I do appreciate it. And it was I had one of those moments on that. There was the first show Saturday when it was a packed room. There were people there that knew me. There were people there that didn't, and it was one of those things where I could do no wrong. It is a weird kind of Zen moment that I don't know how to translate it into other occupations, but.
Mm-hmm.
you have this moment where you go, it feels like riding a wave, and you're like, oh, I've got it. No matter what I do, this is going to be fine, and I could just keep going, and yeah, blah, blah, blah. Again, okay. This is anyway. Nobody wants to hear this.
No,
nobody.
This will be a lost episode.
All right, now say something insulting to me again about how much
well,
I talk.
Well, I was either going to tell you all that,
how I'm rude to my
or
children.
I was going to tell you you're wise to be giving it up.
Was this?
It was. I was a toss up either way, but I thought, let me blow some smoke up his ass. Can't prize that $3 out of him.
That's awesome. All right. Well, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be more right back with more after this.
I'm going to be coming to Fresno, California on July 26th. Don't know the exact details for that yet, but go to my website, justincomedy.com, to find out when it gets a little closer. Coming to Dayton, Ohio, August 14th through 17th. Going to be in San Antonio, Texas at the River Center Comedy Club, headlining September 3rd through September 7th. And then going to be opening for Bobcat Galthwaite November 6th through November 9th in Omaha, Nebraska.
Boom, we're back. Nailed it. Wait, did you need something? Were you about to get up?
I didn't know if it was a real break.
We could take a real break.
No, it's all right.
It's podcasting. We could just sit.
I just shifted my microphone away from my face and yep. Boom, back and into you... it. The curtain has been lifted. They're yeah. Now seeing all
there
of
is the no, There
parts.
Is no wizard behind this, Oz. There's just these two assholes that...
No, I was going to get the phone number from you to send to...
Oh, yeah, do it. It's right here. It's on the screen. Okay. While you do that, I will talk about this little situation that happened to me.
Please do.
I went to a kid's birthday party recently, and it was funny that we show up, and I think everybody's been through this, except for I feel like this is yet another example of how I don't love my children enough, evidently, because this mom, it was a six-year-old birthday party. The mom went there to reserve tables. Now, I know some cities, you go down to the city office or you send an email and you can reserve a table at a public park. But this one is the one that's first come, first serve in Los Angeles, I guess. So there was a lady there at 6 a.m. who had reserved all of the tables in this park for a party that was happening at 3:00.
Yeah, I've seen that sort of thing.
Really? Yeah. And I was like, when I heard, she goes, I showed up and this lady had all of the tables already. And I said, I go, really? And she goes, yeah, I had to ask her if we could borrow this one and said we would be done by 1:32 at the latest. So we'd be well done before her party started. And she was like, I guess. Like, I was like, wow.
It was going to taint her party, though.
Yeah, right.
The aftertaste of you.
Now I've got to untape the plastic tablecloth. Like, and I just thought it was weird because I would never in a million years do that for my kid. There's a lot of things I would do, but that kind of stuff I just don't see as important, and I don't know. But and then as I'm walking away, this was like a trifecta of things happening. As I'm walking away from having that conversation, my kids were enjoying the playground equipment. I went to go hang out with them and my wife while I offered to help set up, and they were like, no, we got it. And so I'm walking away, and this mom goes, she's yelling, the dad's walking towards her, and she goes, she put her mouth all over it. And like yelling, and I go, oh, and she goes, she's got AIDS now. She has AIDS. And then it gets better. I fucking hate parks, is what she yells. And so one could only assume that she's talking about the nightmare for anybody who is a germaphobe, that is the park drinking fountain. Oh. With the cesspool of a septic tank that just sits exposed to the elements there, for children to arrive at their first park visit and then immediately become tainted with every disease that has ever been created by man or elsewhere. And
diphtheria.
Exactly. And it was funny for me because I'm sitting there and I listen and I go, you know what? I judge her. And then I go, but I could easily find myself hitting that level of rage for that very subject. Like, I could easily see myself going, are you fucking kidding me right now? Like, I don't know. I don't know what circumstances led up to that.
Right.
You know what I mean? It could have been any myriad of two or three things that just fucked up her morning, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. And then now I hit her at her breaking point, which was the drinking fountain that contained AIDS.
Right. Oh my God.
And then there was I tell my wife this story, and then I happen to look over my wife's shoulder as I'm telling her this story to see a dad. What look like a daughter, you can't tell in L.A. There's a lot of sons that look like daughters because they decide not to cut their hair like we live in Malaysia or something.
Right.
And so there's what looked like a girl who was standing up peeing. And that's what my first thing was. I'm like, there's a little girl standing up peeing next to this tree with a dad. I'm like, either he has no idea how this works. Like, is this his first day? Is he an uncle who I'm assuming is a father? And then I found out it was a little boy. And I go, look, there's a kid peeing by that tree over there. And not 10 feet away was the bathroom, right?
Oh, my gosh.
So my wife and I, we judge. We go, it's 10 feet away to the bathroom. And I jokingly said, it is cleaner, that tree, than probably what's waiting inside there.
Yeah.
They could get AIDS in there, I understand.
Right.
And
well, if they're putting their mouth on anything in the bathroom, they got it coming.
Yeah, exactly. And then the guy next to me says, you know, like, in a sense, in a nice way, he says, hey, assholes, the bathrooms are locked. Like, he kind of goes,
oh, right.
Oh, well, the bathrooms are locked. Like, and then I was like, oh, no, what if this is his life partner? You know what I mean? Because, again, we're in Los Angeles.
Right.
It's two dudes.
Right.
And I go, oh, okay, that makes sense then. And then at first I was like, maybe I should backpedal. I'm like, oh, fuck this. It's weird.
No. You wouldn't look at somebody publicly urinating and think, you know what? There must be a nearby bathroom.
Yes.
Inaccessible.
There's a reason.
Which would explain this behavior.
Right.
No, it's much more likely that they're animals.
And so I judge the city. I go, well, why would you lock? It's summertime.
Right.
It's a Sunday afternoon.
It's a
why
weekend.
Is now the time to lock the bathrooms at the public park? And then there were porta potties outside, which I think were open. But I think the bathroom was broken. It was like shut down and couldn't be repaired. And I go, again, what could be broken in a bathroom that can't be repaired in an hour by a plumber? Like,
well,
it's,
but if it's a city bathroom.
Yeah, you know. There's a lot. They got a lot of AIDS. Yeah. There's going to be a hazmat team to come in.
Extra AIDS.
Which I don't know if you remember when your guys were little, but it always drives me nuts when I have to take my sons when we're on a road trip into a restroom and they sit on the oversized toilet and they rest their hands on where every cock and balls has ever just accidentally touched and made contact.
Yeah. I sometimes go in and just touch my cock and balls to that portion.
It's moments like that that I'm thankful I'm uncircumcised, that I'm at least protected by my turtleneck skin sheath of anything getting into my innards.
TMI.
What's up? No? Can't share? Wow. All right. You're welcome, Luna. Stupid.
Yes, no, going into the bathroom with my kids was always, you know, just like I just decided you're going to have to disinfect at the end no matter what anyway. So let's just let it, whatever happens, happen.
Yes. And then you wash up and then you move on.
Try to micromanage, yeah.
Do you have any? And then I love, too, that they did the everybody does the, they go all out now with birthday parties. You have gift bags.
Mm.
Everybody walked away with a fucking Lego toy of some kind.
Right, right.
And all I kept thinking was like, I hope this guy did a commercial shoot for these Legos because this is insanity.
That right, right.
Every kid walked away with a $6 Lego toy. And then, so they had the pinata, which I love. It's like, you do all the shit, but then you also have to be angry about it. And this particular father, he's extra unhappy. An Australian guy, like, everybody talks about how he's rude.
Yes.
And so he was like, he goes, oh, the politics. You know, he kept saying to his friend, who actually was a comic, who I knew that was on my Showtime thing.
Yeah.
His name is Angelo, and he goes, it's the politics, Angie. Oh, the politics. I kept saying to this guy, which I was like, what politics? They're looking for juice boxes, dickhead. There's no politics. And then they brought pizza, and then he insisted they brought like to-go containers, styrofoam to-go containers, because they got two ginormous pizzas, and they go, everyone take pizza with you. Like,
right.
Take a pound of pizza with you.
Right.
And it's a weird thing to like treat a birthday party for like a buffet.
Right.
Like,
but also, well, here's the thing. You know that's some of the worst pizza that's ever been made. You don't want to be stuck with all
of it. Well, here's the thing. I'm a fan of pizza. I will eat just about any pizza.
Yeah.
But I've been in that situation because as a joke, my buddy Kevin and I ordered one of these same pizzas. They're like 3 feet wide for a Super Bowl just for the two of us because we thought it was funny.
Oh, my God.
And we ate pizza for so long afterwards that we're like, oh, my God, I hate this pizza.
Right.
And so I was like, oh, I feel for the guy. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm not walking away with, like, literally, because you could have taken a pound of it. That's how much they had left over.
Right.
And I go, this is just weird. It's weird. And then they did the pinata. And I love the pinata. Everybody loves a pinata because they did this in a closed, like almost an enclosed space.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's constantly making the kids back up, back up. You're going to get hit in the head. He's holding a rope, but complaining about how he has to hold the rope. And this is the other part of this party that I love. There's a woman, because everybody works in the industry, I guess, here. And so there's a woman who's a rigger. Like, she, one of the moms goes and starts, like, tying
the
rope.
No, they can call each other riggers.
Yeah.
But you can't call
them
riggers.
I have to say rigger. That's right.
She's a rigger.
She's a rigger. I have a friend who's a rigger. So that's cool. But, No, so she's tying it up literally like a triangle pattern so it doesn't swing side to side too much.
Right.
And it stays at the right height that she's kind of like looking at him.
Oh,
she's like,
gosh.
If you give me some slack, I could tie it where you won't even have to hold it. And he's like kind of ignoring her, which adds to his dictum.
Right.
That he's like, listen here, pretty little lady. Right. All right. Daddy's got this. Going to take care of it. Just you get over there. I've got napkins on my hands keeping me from getting blisters. So you just be careful. I know you think you're cool with your tattoo sleeves and all, but no, move along. Like, he wouldn't even talk to her. She's like, so I said, that's what I jokingly said. That's what every party needs is a rigger. That's what they need. Mm-hmm. And then her husband looked at me. He goes, you can't call her that. No. He looked at me. He goes, she actually is a rigger.
RWA.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that, I think that was funny to me. And then, the other cool thing they had, a Lego guy. Can you imagine this being your job?
Oh, wow.
Guy who travels around with Lego sets. He took little tables and cut holes where you put bins in, mm-hmm. and then mounted like a whole sheet of Lego so that they could stick to a table too.
Right, that's
so
genius.
All this guy had to do was have a Lego set, and then he made like out of some 2x6s ramps, and so he puts it literally in a plastic bin that they came in.
Yeah.
Puts one in on the table, and then the kids just run Hot Wheels down this ramp into a bin of cars, and then every once in a while he picks up the bin, dumps it back on top, and then puts the empty bin down there. I hope this guy's making thousands of dollars a party because it's so simple, and yet the kids loved it.
Sadly, he's probably not making thousands of dollars, but it does sound like a very simple.
It's got to be at least $400 or $500, don't you think, for a couple hours at a party for something like that?
I don't know. I'll look into it.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
No. I have dabbled in the
idea of doing that
entertainment, birthday entertainment world.
Yeah.
Before. I'll tell you what it was. I don't want to give it away here because
somebody steal it. Well, Elsa, it was funny too because what I realized about the public park parties is that the Lego guy kept having to check like, who are you here with? And like, if they didn't know the kid's name,
oh,
they're like,
sure.
Out, get away from the Legos.
He needs to hand out the colored wristbands.
Right, exactly. Like,
not colored. We don't.
No. I don't, whatever ethnically correct.
Right. Wait,
Crayola. Can you say Crayola?
Yes.
That's what the term they're using now. But there was also an Elsa and a Anna from Frozen, and then a dude that nobody could figure out who he was supposed to be.
This is all at the same party?
No, this is an adjacent party.
Oh, my goodness.
Then, but different from that was a Frozen-themed bounce house that then had to be shut down while people were eating because the people were like, people are using it that aren't in our party. So they just deflated it and let it sit there.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And there was all these, and it was funny because people were like, get those kids out of our Legos. But then there were parents that were there with us that were like, oh, I want to go say hi to Elsa and Anna. And like, oh, that's like, I just tell my kids, that's not for our party. So you can look at it from here,
but
you're not going to go in there. But people were just going, yeah, go say hi.
Just tell them she has AIDS.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a public park.
What a share of lemonade.
Right.
So, but they're just sending their kids over there. And I was like, man, that sucks. That's so weird that they just, you know, just to send your kids to somebody else's party. What was it like? I didn't plan this, but what was it like 10 years ago when you were taking your guys? Was it any different? Was there gift bags?
It was gift bags. Yeah. I mean, there was, I don't know what height it may have reached now, but yes, there was always, certainly when they would go other places, more well-organized parties, there were gift bags. We always just had the lamest, saddest collection of, you know, like cream corn. I just find stuff in the cupboard that I had. I just put it in a bag. Yeah.
Please tell me you're telling the truth.
No, I wish I was, but I have done that on Halloween where we ran out of candy. So I just start giving away the things that I bought that my kids won't eat.
Oh,
you know, the prepackaged whatever it was.
Yeah, whatever, like a breakfast horn or whatever,
yeah,
a bear claw type of stuff.
The way you're saying it sounds more open package, but I'm talking about like a
single wrap Twinkie.
Yeah,
maybe.
That sort of thing.
All right,
or like some sort of not protein bar, but like a granola bar that they're like, I'm not gonna eat that, and I'm like, all right, well,
I'll give it to the kids.
That was going on. We did feel a lot of pressure to sort of keep up in that regard, and we always just failed horribly.
Really?
Yeah. No, it's just too much work. And
I do feel bad.
We would do we've done this. We did a slide in that backyard. Was it a water slide? I can't remember now, but it was like a bouncy slide or something. Oh, I hated that.
Oh, really? It's dangerous.
Yeah, and I'm just watching kids, and I'm like, the whole time I thought there was concussions and people were going to lose teeth, and I just, everything. And because kids are always, particularly boys, they always seem determined to find the most deadly option that there is. I mean, I can't believe the fact that we exist, forget all of the society and everything else, the fact that we even exist as a species when we spend so long helpless and determined to kill ourselves. I mean, the amount of supervision it takes for you not to have a dead kid is insane. I can't. It just speaks volumes to how powerful our brain is that we're able to overcome.
Or durable, maybe.
Or durable. Is that too?
It bounces right back, evidently.
Yeah.
For some of us.
I mean. I am a what do you call that? I can't believe I forgot.
What?
Did you
play with a slip and slide? Is this little boy you, Adam?
No,
have head trauma?
I did have some massive
consult
head trauma.
Consult a constabulary or whatever it's called. For all intents and purposes.
I was air vac'd. I had a skull fracture.
There it is.
I can't believe it took me that long to think of it. We were at a family reunion at a restaurant. And there were many kids. And after things have been ordered, they said, all right, let's get the kids out into the patio area so that the adults can have some peace. And they sent an adult out to supervise the whatever it was, half dozen kids between the ages of, I think I was just under two and probably up to six or eight or something like that. Mm-hmm. So they're all, and there's this, it's like an art show out there. So there's statues and there's this and there's that, whatever it is. And I attempted to climb a totem pole.
How old?
Under two.
Okay.
So I'm toddling around. And I'm sure that the parents...
Under two, and you attempted to climb a telephone pole.
Well, a totem. You know, it had, like, whatever. It had a nose.
Oh, totem.
Totem pole.
I
don't, yeah.
You said totem pole. I heard telephone pole. I went,
a whole other
are
thing.
You fucking kidding me?
That's not a good art show if it's telephone
pole. Yeah, exactly. That's why I was like, oh, it's a telephone pole adjacent to an art show. Okay.
And a totem pole is not that far from a telephone
you're right,
pole.
You're right.
So, in any case, I'm sure I didn't get very far trying to climb it. I'm sure I was shooed away by whatever responsible parent was shooing people away, which I'll get to in a moment. And then I took two or three steps away from it, and it came over on me. And it was heavy enough that it could not be that a grown man couldn't, you know, it was probably a couple hundred pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, the parent in charge was my father. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. That's all right. You'd have to laugh or you would cry.
I know, right?
So eventually, this was in Provincetown.
So your father could not lift it off of you.
He couldn't lift it off of me.
Now, here's what I love about this, to add to the humor, if you would.
I'm glad there's something to love. Yes, go on.
That you always hear tale, right, of a mother who will lift who's lifted like a small Volkswagen, you know what I mean, to save a child. And yet, a father couldn't muster a 200-pound, 8-foot-tall log.
That's very funny.
That was crushing his son's head. He's like, if this were a horribly like animated cartoon, like with dark humor, it'd just be like,
right.
Well, I guess I can't do nothing. We love you, son. See you later.
Right.
They're serving cheesecake. I gotta go.
Right.
I gotta go.
The appetizer is right.
They just opened a new Taco Bell up the road. I gotta go.
So I was flown to Boston Mass General or whatever it was from Provincetown. I was in a bad way for a couple of weeks.
Wow. You know. What do they do for a skull fracture? Did you wear like a helmet thing? Or?
I did have to.
So it draw like it grows straight? Did they have to put screws in it?
I didn't have any screws in it. I do have, I mean, you may have noticed. It's hard to do here. This makes great compelling
radio. Audio.
I don't know if you can see from
He's lifted up
sitting.
A patch of his skin and is showing me. Guys, he has a flap in his head like a doggy door. No, there's like a little bump right there.
There's a bump there. There's a ridge that runs across the front, and then the side is flattened. This is where I hit.
How long was the fracture?
The ground. How?
Like in inches. You know what I mean?
Like, you know what? I've never asked, and I don't know. I just know the whole front edge of my head is effed up, so it hit me, I think. It hit me here and drove me to the ground.
My gosh.
So, not good.
Yeah. No. You know what's interesting to me, too, about this is that you have something like this happen and you live to tell the tale.
Right.
And yet you're worried
barely.
About a slip inside.
Like, right. You know what I mean? No, but I'm looking at somebody else's kid 20 feet off the ground who's going to slide down the banister of the thing. And I'm like, no. No, you're 15 feet off the ground. I can barely watch Funniest Home Videos. It's the funniest thing that Luna has ever seen. She's laughed at it for 20 years.
Yes.
And mostly when I laugh, I'm laughing
to you, it's a tragedy.
I'm laughing at her.
Oh.
But all The whole time, I'm like, you know how close he was to being paralyzed? You know, just the whole thing is just, I'm.
Your guys' arrangement couldn't be better in that she goes, you know what I mean? Like, she goes to work and you're home taking care of, you are the person to be home taking care of those kids. That's the God's honest truth. Let's not forget, because it's documented on this show, the time that you left for 5 days or 8 days or whatever it was. And she's like, I'm taking time off work. I'm not going anywhere. We're hunkering down in the garage. I just have to keep these children alive until she comes back.
I like that she's become Jewish.
I'm horrible at accents.
No, it's okay.
I did a tour. I jumped up into Europe when I was doing that Australian guy, I think, time or two. I may have even gone Swiss.
No. You. That was very interesting because I'm I pay attention to dialects. So your first outing, it was Scottish.
Yes.
And then when you dip back in, it was like pretty solid Australian.
That was direct quotes. That's how I knew. I could feel it.
I'm like, these are about three or four sentences strung together, and I'm like, wow, this is getting impressive that he can just do this. And I'm thinking ad lib, and then it just slid into Irish.
Yeah,
it just sort of started lilting a little bit. And I thought, well, who knows? I'm sure there were some I don't know what.
It's harder than it looks, isn't it?
Yes. I was going to say at the start that I have been marble mouth for about 2 days. And I didn't think I was going to be able to get
it. You don't have more head trauma, do you? Are you okay? Like, do I need to be worried about
no,
you?
No. As far as I know, I'm okay. I'm just getting old.
Oh, no. You can't be getting old. We're friends. That's not the way it's supposed to go down.
You're trying to keep me
Can
young.
Can we be like Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson and do a bucket list thing?
I don't think
so. Can we climb the Himalayas together? I mean, I'll be in a coffee can, I'm sure, but still. Can we do that? Yes. That'd be so much fun.
We will do it.
Although I think, who made it? Morgan Freeman ended up in the, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. I don't remember now.
I think it was Morgan Freeman in it because I thought it was weird that it was like you expected Jack Nicholson to die, correct? Whoever was not supposed to die, died. That was a twist I remember at the end of that, I'm not mistaken.
Then you remember much more about it than I do.
Yeah, well, I think I'm more the dick than you, so I think I have to be the one who makes it, unfortunately, because only the good die young, as they say. And
there you go. Something you were talking about reminded me of a hopefully what will be a quick story having to do with saving places in a public
setting. Oh, yeah, with the tables.
We were in Texas. We were visiting Luna's, a small outcropping of Luna's family, and meeting cousins and whatever. I had never met some of them. I had, but anyway, we ended up Luna and I, Chad and Diego, and then maybe two, I think, of the cousins there at a water park.
Mm-hmm.
And we're humping in all the stuff you've got, and you're carrying shit. You're going to be there all day with towels and whatever. And of course, as soon as you arrive, a significant portion of the group has to go to the bathroom. And so we were in this kind of eating area that had this kind of a shade over it. And there were a bunch of long tables, like 20-foot long picnic tables that are, you know, largely in use here and there. And I'm just thinking, we need a place to just set our shit down. Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
We need a place to set our shit down because we're all carrying everything. And maybe you've got a small one because it's a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Wants to take a load off. So we come to this picnic table and it's empty, except that I can see on the far end of it, 10 or 15 feet away, is a collection of stuff. So clearly somebody has staked a claim there, and they're off splashing or peeing, which would probably also be splashing or whatever.
Getting AIDS.
So we just perch on the end of this thing. We're not staying here. We're just getting started. We're not looking for a home base. We're just here. And then the family comes back, and first it's a couple of kids and then a wife, and they all sort of settle in at their end. And I'm taking up about, you know, a foot stretch on this table at the very end of it, a good 10 or 15 feet away from them. Then the husband arrives in his shorts and tatted out across the throat.
Yeah.
And there were swastikas involved.
Oh, so he's a CEO some kind of executive.
And he was bristling and coming at me, and it's like, what are you doing on our table? And he wanted to have
a physical
fight over the table. And I was just like, we were just stopping here. I could see you were using it. There was nobody here at the time, so we were moving
along. No harm,
along.
No foul.
Right. But he was just ready to kill me.
Over a picnic table.
Over a picnic table in front of his kids. And here's the thing that really was really weird at the time. My handle, I'm not going to get in a fight about pretty much anything unless my kids are threatened in some way, which certainly wasn't happening with his children in this instance. But to sort of get out of it gracefully and like a dignified, normal human being adult.
Yeah.
But then to carry the shame of it because it happened in front of one of my kids and two other, like, I just was ashamed.
Nah, there's no shame. I mean,
it was really weird.
I get it. I get this idea that you.
Because I can guarantee you this, two things. One, their father would have handled it differently.
Yeah.
And two, that guy never would have said anything to their father. Because that guy's a fucking animal.
Yeah.
Now, he's not tatted out and everything, but he carries himself like a guy you don't fuck with.
Yes.
And so this is a bully, and he sees an easy target.
Right.
And he's going to push me around, and it might have had something, but it wouldn't. It certainly wouldn't have diffused itself in the same way with me, you know, slipping my tail between my legs and slinking off. But and so, you know, I'm trying to turn that into a lesson for my children about, you know, you don't want to get into fights over meaningless things.
Right,
you
exactly.
You want to stand up for yourself, but only when it's really important, you know, whatever.
It's unfair, but the tone of your voice, everything works out in my head as a sketch. The tone of your voice, which is entirely unfair. You don't want to, I mean, you know, you got to pick your battle, son. He had mom bent over one of those tables that, you know, I think she had a good time, your mom.
I didn't hear her complaining.
She was not complaining. So, you know, but we left her there. Right. We're going to circle back in a couple days. And no, I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of. Like, because here's the thing, the reality of, I don't know, because I'm the same as you, where I have this story where I went to go get some like saline stuff for Jack's nose, and he was like, he couldn't breathe. So we got back and we put it. And then as we took it off, I realized it didn't have like the safety seal on it. And I went, oh shit, I just gave my kid some poison. Some crazy guy just killed my son.
Right, right.
And I'm trying to calm myself down. I'm like, well, I'm going to go return it and bring it back. And so this toothless asshole was hitting on the overnight clerk at the fucking CVS over here near here.
Right.
And it was just, it was like, it was a white trash dating game happening right in front of me.
Right.
And I said, hey, I go, this thing wasn't on when I got it. I go, so can I, you know, go get another one? She was like, yeah, just leave it here. I go, oh, actually, I want to keep this. You know, in my mind, I was going to say, in case, you know, something happens, I want them to, you know,
be
I'm thinking
to.
My life is a movie, and I'm give this to Keanu Reeves. He will run tests on it, and then you will be able to, in the final seconds, give my son the remedy he needs to live.
Right.
And so I do, and so the guy, I go, well, I just want it, and the guy goes, why do you need to keep it? And what happens with me is that I get angry, and I'm afraid of my anger getting me in trouble, so I want to look at him and go, you could fuck off. Like,
right.
And so then I walked away. And because of that, the whole ride, I'm like, why didn't you just tell him to fuck off? He's a fucking idiot.
Right.
So now I try to have a hair trigger on that. I try to just go, you know what? Fuck off. Fuck you. Get the fuck out of my face. My wife has it, and it works out really great for her a lot.
Okay. Right. Yeah. You'll have to keep me posted on how it works.
Well, it does. I think because she's
a
chick.
By the way, I've got a guy at a water park I'd like you to meet.
Oh, really? Okay. We'll go talk. We'll go talk to him. And, So anyway, but I don't. But at the same time, I think that there is more shame in the idea of you going, you know what, fuck yourself. I'm using 15 inches of this table,
right.
Then it goes to fisticuffs. Next thing you know, you're holding.
My God.
You know what I mean? You're holding an extra shirt up to your nose. And,
No, I would be evac'd to Mass General. Right. Is what I would be. This guy would have.
Yeah. You'd be on the ground going, get the totem off my head.
He would have ruined me. He would have ruined me.
But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like at the same time, like, say you did do it, like, are there a lot of stories, though, of, like, people doing that, getting in fight over picnic tables? I mean, obviously, neck tattoos be damned. If we're talking about two guys in cargo shorts and a polo, you know what I mean, then that's a different conversation.
Right.
But when you start getting swastikas involved, this is a guy who's not, you know what I mean, he's not thinking with a clear and present head. He has no future sight.
Right. At that time, I had hair, so I wasn't bald. We didn't have that in common.
Oh, right. It's
right.
Screw the Jews. It's cool, man. Right. I hate Jews, too. I thought we were cool. I thought, it's not? Okay, my bad.
Right. This isn't where the rally is?
No,
I thought this was the meeting point.
I got an email, and...
I think I was talking last time about how my kids are embarrassed about me in public. Was I talking about that?
I don't think so.
Remember, I tend to, I'll just talk to people, or I'll register a complaint, even if it's just a mild one.
Yeah.
Like we went to Disneyland, or we were at California Adventure, whatever it was, and there's Sarge's Depot, you know, in the Cars Land.
Yes.
And there is nothing in Sarge's Depot that has Sarge on it. It's just an excuse to sell stuff, but you'd think that somewhere in there, there should be something.
Calm down, Larry David. Right. Calm down.
So I was pointing this out to the woman behind the counter.
Adam,
my kids,
I love
were
you.
Horrified. They were horrified. She was like,
"Well, you're not, because here's the thing. You're not saying, listen, I'm a guy in my 40s and I want a Sarge. You're just saying, isn't it ironic that we're in Sarge's Depot and yet nothing has Sarge on it? That's what you're saying, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I was like, there really ought to be something. There's not even a picture of Sarge inside.
And of course, your cynical humor is just landing like a grand slam on whatever 19-year-old with a permanent happy smile on her face.
Right. She did not
get
what I was about. But that's the kind of embarrassment. That horrifies my children. If I
really
got in a fight, they would be.
There's nothing to be. Listen, again, I know this is going to be a recurring theme. We're going to have some kind of scared straight situation.
Well, for my kids.
So for your kids. You're going to go away, and they're going to spend a weekend with me and just see what it's like to roam around in the public with me and see what goes
getting
down.
AIDS.
And, yeah, exactly. I'm gonna crank it up a notch for you too. Yeah. I'm gonna turn it up a little bit just so that, and then when you come home, they're gonna be like, "Oh my gosh, thank you, Dad. We love you so much. I will eat whatever sandwich you want to make. I will do it."
Right. That isn't me. Okay, now on that note, this is a quick side thing, and I had something else, but it doesn't really matter. I wanted to hear about your Father's Day if there was anything to tell. But
oh yeah, let's do it.
But doubling back,
and then we'll
before
wrap it
that, quickly. I was back at Home Depot. I was getting those blinds, right? And so I left them there for them to cut, and brought my little clipboard with my nerve.
Yeah.
We made it all written down. And then I went to
Adam made a clipboard that had all of the measurements
spreadsheet.
In a spreadsheet. And what I love is that he had alternate pricings. Like, he gives a PowerPoint deck to his wife on the window treatments that she's requested. So for anybody who feels bad for Luna catching crap, also unfair for me to jump on her on that.
Don't jump on her.
Listen, Luna, he loves you very much. He said so immediately following the whatever ribbing you gave him. No, I'm kidding.
she was very gentle about it. She didn't even bust my balls.
I know.
Like,
she's a good person.
I don't know about that. So here's the thing, because we're talking about the UN, everything's a referendum at my house.
Yes, yes.
You know, where to put where to put the lettuce in the sandwich, layer to put it in. So I'm leaving the stuff with the woman, and then I'm going to go to Target, do my marketing, and then come back and get them. And so I said, listen, I'm going to leave these with you. I'm just going to Target.
Yeah.
Right? And so she starts to say, oh, well, as long as you're going to be in Target. And so I laugh, thinking that she's making a joke, that she's going to ask me to get her something.
And yeah.
And I start to walk away, and she keeps talking, and I turn back, and I laugh, and I sort of wave at her. And what is happening is that she's pulling money out of her pocket and asking me to get her an iced tea at Starbucks. And I thought she was joking, and then I realized that she wasn't. I was like, yeah, okay, I'll get you a Starbucks. So I'm not only doing it for my own family, I'm nourishing other people.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. Again, she wouldn't have asked the guy with the throat tattoo or my in-law
to
get her an iced tea.
No. But
something about me says, he'll do it for you. Don't worry.
Well, it could be just, you know, the 20 years of marriage you've got.
She sees someone with a broken spirit.
Well, here's the thing. I find this in. What's wrong with her getting an iced tea? Is it because she knows that it's going to be across the store from wherever you're going?
No. It's just
because what I hear when you say this is I hear my favorite part about marriage is that when you ask for an iced tea, and listen, I know I'm a kettle calling somebody black, okay? Listen, I have no grounds to stand on this soapbox at all. But I love the idea that it's like, can you get me an iced tea? It's like, are you fucking kidding me?
No. I didn't even do that.
I know, but...
I just thought, I honestly feel like it's inappropriate in the larger sense of, I work at a store and I'm servicing you and I'm supposed to be taking care of your needs, not, hey, you need to do something for me. It seems like that's not really the relationship that we have with each other. I'd never seen her before. If it's the gal at the...
Oh, I'm so sorry. I misunderstood. I thought Doreen was asking for the tea.
It's the woman who works
at
Lowe's.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, the woman who works at Lowe's wanted me to bring her an iced tea when I left Target.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right. I told it wrong, I guess, but this is a great...
This is
the reaction I was looking for.
Are you fucking kidding me? The balls on that chick. Wow. Was it the same chick that we saw?
No. Okay. It may have been. They, as you joked, that was the same girl.
Yeah, she had a twin. Yeah.
She had a twin. It was the same girl, but I don't think it was exactly her.
Okay. Wow.
So, so then as I went and did the shopping for my family, I then went over to.
Wow.
This is how sad I am, really, is that I came in and I thought, well, if it's a prepackaged thing that she's asking for.
Oh, yeah, just grab it.
But I want you want to grab it at the end because otherwise it'll be warm. I don't want to bring her a warm iced tea.
Yeah.
But what I was worried is they would run out of them. And so then I wouldn't be able to, I'd get there and there wouldn't. And so I'm obsessed with serving her, doing the best possible job for her.
Well, because it is a weird thing, because then it's like, what if she fucks up my blinds? Like,
right. Well, no.
I would have thought.
In some ways, I thought this might ensure that she pays extra attention to my blinds.
Right. I would think the same. But here's what I would be fuming. Maybe we are the same person. The whole time I'm there, what the fuck? Are you kidding? I'm like looking, whatever you're getting at Target, you know, some trash bags. Like,
everything.
I got to get a fucking iced tea after that. Are you fucking kidding me? Balls on this bitch.
Then
you come back every day. Here you go. I hope you like lemon.
Yeah. Well, that was two things. One is, no, I was more marveling at the fact that it even happened. Like, what did I give off that told her it was going to be safe and okay for her to say that to me? Because I could probably just have gone to customer service and said, hey, listen, your person is ordering food for off of me, you know, and turning me into her errand boy.
Yeah, I like the way that the conversation would go, well, why would she do that? I know, right? Well, I mean, I jokingly offered. Well, if you offered, sir, maybe she didn't.
No.
Are you a comedian, sir? Are you
person at customer service says, oh, you are going to Target then.
Yeah, because guys. We got a Target run. Anybody want Starbucks?
Right.
Starbucks?
Right.
I'm going to get him the mochaccino. The
macchiato.
Macchiato. Macchiato. Iced. Iced venti.
Right.
You got that? I'll get you next time?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But as it turned out, ordering the iced tea was that, because it wasn't a prepackaged thing. And all she'd said was passion fruit. She didn't give me a size. She didn't tell
Nothing.
Me, does she want sugar, any of this other stuff. So I was like, well, you know.
Here's the thing. I love that when you told that because it seemed like such a crazy move that I thought only your wife would
ask. Your brain wouldn't accept
that. Brain would not accept that the clerk would be like, oh, yeah, let me get my purse and here's some money.
See, you should have stopped right there, because there's no way on earth my wife would be inside Lowe's. That's why I'm making spreadsheets.
Which is also what I thought is the funny part of your story. Like, I was like, that she was there with you. Like, I was like, oh, that's interesting, you know?
Right. She and I had one of the worst fights of our lives. In IKEA. And so, and I couldn't even tell you what it was. It was just being in IKEA that made it happen.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. My example of the iced tea can lead to a big thing, marriage.
Right. I see what you're saying. No, I didn't quite know where you were going. I was trying
That was my point. My point was, like, if you put it in the context, like, say she was complaining, like, also your wife is asking for an iced tea to a place you're already going.
Right.
But to what I could easily see myself. But that's the other thing.
Yeah, it's be mad about that, too.
What the fuck? I got to get you an iced tea? I balance your checkbook, bitch. What else do you need? Bleed me dry. Bleed me dry.
My God.
I wish I had somebody to get me an iced tea. What do you do? Stupid.
So I brought it back to her, and I don't know if it was good or not, but the blind seemed to fit.
Fuck her.
So,
we're going to a different place now.
Exactly.
Let's talk about Father's Day real quick before we wrap it up. Post-mortem, how was yours?
Part of my Father's Day will end up being a moment of the week.
Ooh.
But in general, it was good. I felt very appreciated for that 24-hour period. I had a little activity, which I'll explain later.
Mm-hmm.
And wait, that sounds dirtier.
Let's get into your activity. Hold on. Let me do my cool intro before you get all crazy and tell us everything.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment.
Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So we'll do that. We'll do a combination moment of the week post Father's Day. So you, what's your activity, if you would? Do me a favor. Talk right in the tip. In the front there.
Sorry.
Of the microphone. Just the tip of the microphone.
The activity was taking a hike.
Oh, you did do the hike.
I did do it.
Did everybody come?
No.
Just Diego.
Right. That's what made it enjoyable.
How dare you?
No, no, no. Well, the thing is, if it had been all four of us,
I know, yeah,
we couldn't have done that hike,
yeah,
because we all have different levels of insanity. So, I don't know if you know. Did you know the wisdom tree? If I say that, does
no,
that mean anything
no.
to you?
No, listen.
I don't.
I am
you.
Obese.
As you
I don't know anything involving any kind of sweat.
As you drive towards Warner Brothers, mm-hmm, there's a hill behind there.
Yes, with a tree at the top.
A tree at the top.
Yes.
That's the wisdom
tree. Oh, you hike to the wisdom tree?
Yes. If you go, you know, Hollywood Reservoir?
No.
Okay. If you go around the other side of that hill, there's a lovely reservoir that's been there for almost 100 years. And there's a trailhead back there, which I had found a couple of months ago. And so I brought... I brought Diego on that climb, and it was really, it was hands down my favorite thing that happened that day. It's not for beginners necessarily. He's strong, and
yeah, he does cross country and all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
I can pretty much do it, but he was just boom, he was just gone. It wasn't
Did he
like,
leave you like at the marathon?
He left me in the dirt just like his mom.
Not
does.
Even on Father's Day,
not
you can't
Father's
have a
Day. Well.
Jesus Christ!
I pulled him back and I said, "Look, it's clear that you're gonna go up faster than I am. So just understand that I am following behind you, however slowly it may seem that I'm going, and just be careful and you know, watch out for rattlesnakes and whatever."
Yeah.
So. It wasn't so much the climb up that was special because I was completely alone. And I stopped to take a few pictures the way I do. But getting up there and joining him at the top and taking pictures with the tree and talking and looking at the city. And he found, you know, pointing out his school to him. He got very excited. He was like, those are the bleachers. and I had asked Luna that morning. I had said, listen, you got to do me a favor, because I'd been up once before. And when I was up there, I had thought the first time, I thought, oh, what would be cool is if somebody was just down on Hollywood Way, they could take a picture.
Yeah.
Of me. You could see that you could, because you can see the
two little spots.
Yeah, you can see the tree trunk, so you'd be able to see me. I'm certainly as wide, if not wider, than that tree trunk.
No, how dare you?
So I guess it was the night before. I said, "Listen, I'd like you to do me a favor. I'm not gonna. You don't have to get up with us all early and everything. But when we're wrapping up, I'll give you a heads up. You could just get out onto that street with the good camera we have, mm-hmm, with the telephoto lens, and just get a picture of us up there." And that wasn't gonna happen. She's like, I don't know how to use that camera and how's this gonna work, and I don't want to get up, and it sounds like a pain in the ass.
Who's gonna open my banana?
Right, exactly. Careful, man, you're gonna give me trouble. Diego and I are standing up there and looking down onto the very, you know, street I was talking about. He goes, you know, if somebody's down there, they could take a picture of us. Funny you should say that. So that wasn't necessarily the moment of the week, but it was just sort of being up there with him, getting to the top, and just sharing this thing. And there's this bush off to the side, which I had not really paid much attention to before, but there were other people coming and going while we were there. And so I thought, well, we should look around that bush. And there's this really cool little outcropping of rocks that I hadn't seen the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was cool to sort of find something new with him. And prior to this, he had said, let's take a couple of hikes every week. And I said, let's try to take one hike every week. So we're definitely going to go more. And it was just
That's
really
cool.
special. To spend
have you ever heard of geocaching?
I have. There's a geocaching box up there.
Did you find it already?
It was right there when I got there.
You
I wasn't
see
looking
it.
For it. Yeah, it's just sitting out.
Yeah,
because
that's what I
open.
Thought. I was like, oh, that'd be cool. You could.
You have talked about it before. And I thought that sounds – I like the idea of it. I know my kids are already too old to care.
Yeah.
About the idea of sort of hunting.
But if you're already like going someplace,
yeah,
and you go, oh,
true.
We could do this real quick while we're here.
And there's a geocaching box at this other hike I'd been doing for years. I had no idea what it was. I'm like, why is there a toolbox up here bolted to the ground? You know, I was like, whatever. Crazy people.
Sure, there's a reason. Very fair.
I was afraid to touch it because I'm like, God knows what's in there. There's this sort of a stillborn infant or, you know, who knows what's in there. So I talk about AIDS.
Yeah.
So that's where they keep the AIDS.
That's awesome.
Where it came from. So that was the beginning. And then we had a nice brunch together. And because Chad didn't want to go on the hike, he wanted to play Frisbee. And we also went to the movie. So we went and saw something. I can't remember. 22 Jump Street, which we enjoyed. And then went to that park up here with the library over there, whatever, mm-hmm. whatever it's called.
With
the pirate ship theme. And we went inside the actual ball field that's all gated off now, mm-hmm. and played frisbee.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that was really cool. I mean, neither one of them can throw a frisbee worth a damn. And it was really, really windy. So it was
awesome.
It was, yeah. We had been there about 3 minutes, and I said, you know, I think maybe it's too windy to do this. No, no, we don't want to go. So it was like 40 minutes later, just throwing it and running after it and throwing it and running after it. Like I'm dealing with five-year-olds. Your kids probably throw the Frisbee better than these two.
Yeah, they do. It's their mom that can't. Oh.
So, and I'm no prize either, but they want to stand 100 feet away from each other.
Yeah, and then they glide it.
I'm like, let's be closer. Well, Dad, we could be in our front yard and be closer. We're here to be far from each other. I'm like, yeah, well, we're not good enough to be far from each other.
Playing Frisbee. It's picking up a Frisbee.
Right. So I ran the video long enough to have caught one of them throwing it to the other one and catching it, this one throwing it back and catching it. And then I was like, all right, we're out of here. We've accomplished it. We made a record of it.
Father's Day is closed, everybody.
Yeah, right.
That's awesome.
But so all in all, it was, it was a lot of fun.
Mine was my wife made breakfast. She made some bacon and waffles and stuff like that. Let me sleep in because I had shows the night before. Oh, man, there's not enough show to go into this whole thing. I'll have to save this for another week. But I went out with our other neighbors, your next-door neighbors.
Oh, really?
And got a taste of the lifestyle of married without children.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
oh, my
yeah.
God, I am not prepared.
The rock star side, yeah,
exactly.
No.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
And so, we watched a couple movies while Jack took his nap and watched Lone Survivor, which was a funny moment that I know people like to laugh at me about the show because I watched it with Jacob. Jack was awake for a little bit, but there's a lot of like Navy SEALs getting gunned down by terrorists.
No,
yeah, it's not a movie for kids.
Right.
And so Jacob liked it. He thought it was cool. But what I thought was funny is Jack is still a little young to where I think he bases it off of our reaction. Well, I could just sit there, and if something freaky happens, there's a dad now at the preschool that makes fun of me that I just say, it's fake. That's just syrup and some latex they put together.
Right.
And I kind of do a check-in. But Natalie cannot bring herself in. Like, there was a gunfight, obviously.
Right,
And somebody gets hit in, like, a shoulder. Oh, my God! Natalie's like, oh, that's gotta hurt! Oh, I go, you understand this is not CNN, bitch. This is just a movie. That's Mark Wahlberg. We've also seen him with monkeys, and we're about to see him with robots, everybody. Let's take it down a notch, okay?
Right.
And I didn't have the heart because it says based on true events at the beginning.
Yeah.
I didn't tell Natalie that because I knew that then she would say, this really happened? She kept saying that in front of the kids.
Oh, my gosh.
But again, Jacob loved the movie, thought it was great, was really cool with it. But I had to stop it because Natalie kept overreacting. We then went back to it, and then we also watched Nonstop, which was funny, too.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah, it was a Liam Neeson on the plane.
Absolutely.
It was a fun movie.
Absolutely.
Jacob really liked that. So it was a really lazy day, and then we went to barbecue before my show at a barbecue joint. So, yeah, it was real chill, real nice.
Excellent.
But as far as moments of the week, for me, I'll do one with – combines both of them. Jack just celebrated his birthday actually yesterday when we recorded this, and he he had a little party with pizza and stuff like that.
Right.
And there's a little girl that he is infatuated, but she's Jacob's age, like she's in Jacob's class,
right?
And she's very pretty. If somebody pointed out that she looks a lot like Natalie, they took a picture of one of the coworkers at Natalie's office. Says, "Oh my gosh, your daughter looks just like you." She goes, "That's not my daughter." And that kind of opened it up to me. I go, "That looks exactly like Natalie did when she was that age." So poor Jack's got a little Oedipus syndrome going on.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And so it worked out to where he got a hug from this girl. Like, I made extra cupcakes for Jacob's class. And so the director, cutely, was like, joking for my sake, was like, "Jack brought cupcakes for all of London's class," or whatever. And so. So the girl comes over, and it was very adorable. She goes, "Do you think you could give Jack a hug, to say thank you for the cupcakes?" And so he scored a hug.
Right.
And he walked out of that room with his head like he had just conquered something. Like,
you can tell.
Oh, my gosh. It's so funny how early it gets into you. And they think it's cute how he's infatuated with girls.
Right.
I was the same way when I was his age. Like, I was weighing, I wasn't, like, dirty or creepy, but I liked girls. Like, I was into it. And so I thought that was very adorable to watch him, and he was very thankful. And even Jacob, Jacob is so, so sweet. Like, I don't know how I've managed to make a child that is so kind and considerate and just sweet and sensitive that he wakes up in the morning and Jack had already woken up. And so he comes in and he gives his brother a hug and a kiss and says, "Happy birthday, Jack." And right out of the morning, like, doesn't even have to be told, doesn't have to be reminded. Like, there is not in my opinion, you would be hard pressed to find a more empathetic and aware 5-year-old in this world
that
more than
poor
that
kid.
Yeah, I know, right? It's, yeah. He has no idea what's. I hugged him today because he also worries a lot about stuff, and I hugged him today, and I squeezed him. I did my usual thing of like, gosh, I love you so much, and I said, but you worry so much. I wish there was something I could do to just take
that overcompensating
worry.
Thing that you do with.
Yeah. With the lack of affection I give him and all the yelling and everything.
Right.
But, those were my two little sweet moments.
That's great. Now, I'm a little confused. You say Jack just had the birthday.
Yes.
For some reason, I thought there was a birthday next weekend.
There's a birthday this coming weekend. That's the party with the family and friends
it's
and
the
stuff.
The same kid, but
his actual birthday was the 18th.
I understand.
And then we're having the party on the 21st.
I just want to make sure. So here's the idea for the listeners.
Yeah.
For Jack's birthday.
Paid subscribership.
Boom.
He's welcome.
Yeah. Now think of it this way. Perhaps it will keep his father from beating him for 1 week.
Yeah. No promises.
No. Well, I understand. Gonna, you got to.
That.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. If I got 100 new paid subscribers, I will think about it.
Well, okay? You know, yeah.
Fair enough.
You got to set a bar. Like
right.
You said it.
Works for Jerry. Works for us. I will get a red Sharpie and fill up the thermometer of no beating.
Jerry's beating the hell out of those kids.
Well, that has been our show. You can send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Don't forget to give us a like on facebook.com/dadpodcast. Follow the show on Twitter @dadpodcast. As I said, we have a phone number. If you want to throw it in your phone, it's 877-222-8323. We could take live calls during the show. I send it out, but obviously it's during the day when we record this. We'll try and find a better time when everybody's around and not
we'll
busy
have to,
being employed like us.
We'll
unlike
have to
us.
Work that out. Yeah, exactly.
You can follow me on Twitter @JustinWorsham. You could follow Paco Lancini @TheRealPacoL. Don't forget to go to thedadpodcast.com and give us a paid subscribership. I'm sorry, I got distracted by my stupid phone. Do a paid subscribership. $24 a year would literally change both of our lives now that Paco's a permanent fixture. And also, if you aren't tired of hearing me talk, you can also subscribe to Justin is Married, Booker is Single, another podcast I do with Chris Booker, who's a radio guy out here, where he is single and living the free life, and I am married. And we'll talk next week about my experiences with the guitarist from the Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Good times were had. On behalf of my good friend, Adam Dooley, a.k.a. Paco Lancini, this is Justin Worship saying, stay frosty.